Now we know how asbestos can cause tumours, it's time to turn to the lungs to see if they are the source of all of these metastases. Back to the mortuary.
So what I have here is the thoracic organs, and what you're seeing me do at the moment is I'm just opening up his gullet to make sure that there is no food in there, and then I'm just opening up his voice box, the larynx, and then beyond the voice box we're going into the windpipe or trachea, and then it splits, it divides into two, one going to one lung and one going to the other lung. These are the bronchi, and in fact in this gentleman's right main bronchus we have pus.
The fact that you can see pus there, that's immediately telling us that there's something wrong with this person's lungs.
Absolutely. The other thing that I can see are more of these white nodules that we discussed on the lining of the rib cage, and you can see more of them on the surface of the lung here.
This person's lungs are about football sized, aren't they? If we were to put the whole block of tissue together, it's about the size of a football. Are they very heavy?
They're unnaturally heavy. Sometimes lungs fill up with fluid because the heart isn't working to pump fluid away from the lungs, and it's like a very wet sponge that's soaked up with water. And if you look now, as I just press the lung tissue, there's lots and lots and lots of fluid.
It's frothy.
It's frothy. It's pouring out of the lung tissue.
And if that lung was full of fluid instead of being full of air, it would have meant that the lung didn't work as well as it should do. He would have been short of breath.
Absolutely. So he's going to be having trouble breathing, and that's all a consequence of his heart failure.
Anything jumping out at you at this stage that you can see?
Not a great deal at the moment. There does appear to be a suggestion of some infection, which actually, looking at now closely, having touched it, I wondered if it was infection, but now I can see that it's a plaque. It's a white plaque of tissue. That is very typical of the sort of plaque one might see in asbestos exposure. So I'm just going to move on to the vessels of the lungs and cut down there.
These are the arteries and the veins that bring blood to and from the lungs. Why are you interested in the vessels?
Well, I'm particularly looking for evidence of pulmonary embolism, that is blood clots to the lungs, particularly because of two reasons. This gentleman has evidence of swelling of his lower legs. That increases the predisposition to blood clots developing in the veins inside the calf muscles of the leg. But also he has a disseminated malignant process, which also makes the blood more sticky and therefore increases the risk of you developing blood clots. And I can't see any evidence of that. Now I'm going to slice these lungs because I can feel some large lumps inside the lung
tissue. In both of them?
In both of them. As I open it up, you can see at the very top part of the left lung, there's this great big cream and pink mass. It's about the size of an apple, and this is a tumour.
The rest of the lung tissue is pinky brown. There's some blackness, which I presume is carbon, which is in there from this person's, perhaps they've been a smoker. But there is this very well-defined, big, round, apple-sized blob.
Now, what I'm most interested in is this. Now cutting the other side is another lump of tumour, which I had actually thought was within the lung. Now thinking it might be a lymph node that's got tumour in it.
Lymph node being, these are our glands, where they drain fluid away from different tissues. And so if cancer breaks away from one place in the body, one of the places it can go is into these glands.
That's right. Now we also have a bit of pus. So we have got a little bit of what I think would be a bit of bronchopneumonia developing here. Not surprisingly, because we've got this great big tumour. And I think given that location is likely to be a lung adenocarcinoma. And I think that although sometimes they can be associated with exposure to asbestos, they're also not uncommon in people who have a history of smoking.
Dr. Alison Cluro. So a number of pathologies there. We've got these frothy lungs, we have an apple-sized cancerous tumour, and also a lot of black carbon was visible in the lungs. So let's start there. Prina, how do you end up with black lungs if you smoke?
Cigarette smoke has lots of different chemicals, and there's over 700 different chemicals in cigarette smoke, including tar. So if you chronically smoke, you will get deposition of those chemicals.
But don't the lungs clean themselves out?
They do, but smoking in itself can damage the cilia, which are these little hair-like structures in the airways, which allows it gives a mechanism to clear things from your lungs. If you smoke, it damages those cilia, and so you can't clear it.
So it's a bit like the cleaners all going on strike and no one to empty the rubbish bins, so stuff just accumulates. And the accumulation of the stuff then accelerates other sorts of diseases and disease risk, I suppose, things like cancers.
Yes, exactly, cancers. And equally, this gentleman has COPD, and that has also been shown to cause damage to the cilia and inflammation within the lungs, which may have also predisposed him to tumour development.
And Hugo, the spread from this, what we presume to be the primary cancer in the lung, around the body, both to the gland tissue and to the liver, does that fit?
That would be absolutely a classic characteristic of the way that lung cancer would affect the body, spreading both through the lymphatic system to lymph glands and through the bloodstream to other areas.
And he didn't have a known history of lung cancer when we reviewed his notes. Is this a pretty common thing to just discover like this?
Well, it is certainly common that lung cancer is advanced at the time that is diagnosed.
Why?
Well, there's a combination of features. The first thing is, of course, that the symptoms can be quite non-specific. So most of us would get a cough and wouldn't think too much of it. Often the tumour has to be quite large before it will give you the more serious symptoms that one will get. For example, pain, coughing up blood, which is a very important symptom. For a tumour to actually cause you to cough up blood, often they're quite large cancers, and by that time often it's much more difficult to treat them. On the other hand, from the amount of disease that this man has, I would be surprised if he wasn't having some symptoms from it. And I think, you know, it'd be interesting to know whether for the few months before his death he actually did have symptoms which in retrospect would have been attributable to his lung cancer.
Preena, Alison used the word bronchopneumonia. She said there was some pus coming out of the airways and this gentleman had clearly had some signs of infection. What is bronchopneumonia?
So pneumonia is an infection within the lungs. It is usually due to either a bacteria or a virus on occasion. We breathe these things in all the time. The lungs can usually clear them, but in some cases that can cause an overwhelming infection. And then in a bid to try and fight that infection, there'll be lots of inflammatory cells coming into the lungs, and so that causes a build-up of pus. And bronchopneumonia is infection within the main airways.
Would the cancer this gentleman had have made it more likely for him to develop that condition?
Yes, for a number of reasons. As he's got cancer, his immune system may have been suppressed. Equally, it's possible that there may have been a tumour deposit that was affecting the clearance mechanism of the lung. And equally, we already heard that he probably had steroid treatment as well. So all those three factors could have contributed.
Steroids reduce your immune response, don't they? So that would increase his risk of succumbing to an infection.
Yes, exactly.
What about the fluid? These lungs, because I picked them up, they are very, very heavy, twice, three times the weight they should have been. Mm-hmm. Where was all that fluid coming from?
Because of his heart failure, you will get a back pressure in the blood vessels in the lungs, and they will become leaky, just like as his legs are swollen, you will get fluid leaking into the lungs for that same reason. Equally, because he's got infection, that may have made his blood vessels a bit more leaky as well.
And Hugo, one of the things that we didn't find here, but Alison specifically went looking for, was a pulmonary embolus, a blood clot that lodges in one of the main blood vessels supplying the lungs. And she made the point that people with cancer are more likely to suffer from what she dubbed sticky blood. What's the background and basis of that?
So there are a number of reasons why people with cancer are more likely to have blood clots. And those range from a local effect, from actually a cancer in the pelvis, which is pressing on a blood vessel and reducing the flow. And that means when the flow in the blood vessel is less and slower, it's more likely to sludge up and clot. To the fact that people with cancer, often don't eat and drink very well and can get very dehydrated. And that's another thing which, again, makes their blood more likely to sludge up. And finally, actually, some of the treatments that we use for cancer themselves can make the blood more sticky, more likely to clot. So the number of reasons that we do see, not infrequently in people with cancer, blood clots either in the veins lower down in the body or in the lungs.